I'm single, other than my shape, what do I offer? Because, Pastor, when you get through with all this, please realize I'm built nice, which means I always can get a man. So no matter what you teach them, I realize I'm a nice looking woman, always have been. And if I wear the right thing, because men are turned on by sight, I can always get me a man. So please understand, Pastor, I'm not some of these women. I'm very cute. I'm built nice. Everybody that see me is attracted to me. Men whistle at me. They flirt with me. And so all my life, my has gotten me company. But other than my shape, I have nothing to offer a man. My credit is jacked up. So when he marries me, he's marrying a bill. The day he says I do, he's in debt. But I'm cute. I'm emotionally unstable. My father never spoke into my life. And I've always used my shape and my looks and my charisma and my talking as a man and my flirting and my game to manipulate my way to what I wanted. But now there's an issue, because with Christ, I can no longer manipulate, and I'm forced to show the real me, and I don't like him or her. Why should I marry you? I've worked hard to get myself together. I've worked hard not to have any debt. I've worked hard to build my life. I've worked hard to stay in church. And why should I take you? What do you give me other than good sex? You are not committed. You think cooking is old-fashioned. You're selfish. And you have children. But you. You're a man. Shh. But you have not done right by your finances. You don't have a name. You cannot take her home. You have to take her to your mother's house. You have children everywhere. At least you have one child somewhere. I have to deal with another woman in my world. Even if she's a good girl, she's in my world. I don't want to look at nobody you slept with. But because y'all got a child, I got to deal with her. And even if she's not silly, I don't want to deal with another woman that's been with my husband. Don't you understand? How much are you worth while you're seeking? What have you done to bring up your value? You don't work out. You won't get yourself in shape. You're letting your body get away. You're letting your mind get away. You won't get your name right. You're not committed to anything. But yet, I'm supposed to be this kingdom person that selects you. Let me please understand you. The reason why God has not hooked you up yet is because who you gonna get, you're not ready for. Because all them shiesty brothers and sisters you've been sleeping with, what God's going to do next is going to trip you out. I like what Bishop Walker said. I can't help but repeat it. Because Bishop Walker said that he went to McDonald's and ordered some food. He said he wanted to know, when would my food be ready? And the lady said, would you please pull up? And he had to sit there for a while. And finally, when she brought his food out, he said, what took so long? She said, what you ordered was not on the menu. And it took a long time. Because we had the special making, and all the brothers you've been sleeping with are not on God's menu. What God's gonna give you this time, he had to shape it and make it and perfect it. Touch your neighbor and say, pull up for a while. God will bring it out when it's ready, but it's not ready yet. but I need you to understand, I'm back in the text, believe it or not, I remember what I'm preaching. And so Jacob wrestles, and Jacob is by himself. And Jacob, the Bible says, after dealing with all of his trauma, after dealing with all of his mess, the Bible says, and Jacob was alone. And I need you to understand that Jacob says, now that I'm by myself, God's going to deal with me. And I need some single folk in the Word Church to get an attitude and shout, leave me alone. Go ahead. See, I don't think you really understand what I'm preaching, because I want you to tell God, think about what I'm saying, think about it. I want you to tell God right now, leave me alone. See, you don't care. But not only do I want you to tell God to leave you alone, but I want you to tell ignorant people to leave you. I'm out of here. But let me just give you a few reasons why you might have to leave me alone. Now, number one, leave me alone unless you can accept my past. Now, don't come in my world telling me what I am and what you could have had, because I am what I am. I can't change my past, but I'm better now than I ever been. So if you can't accept me like I am, then let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Slap somebody and say, leave me alone. I wish I had a witness there. But then secondly, leave me alone unless you love God more than you love me. I wish I had a witness there. Tell somebody, it ain't just about getting in my bed. It's about getting on your knees with me. Because God is the only thing that's going to keep me from cussing you out and cheating on you and going back to what I used to do. And if you don't love God, I wish I had seven people in this church that as soon as you meet a brother, he'd be like, what's your name? You'd be like, what church you go to? What's your sign? What church you go to? Where were you born? What church do you go to? Because if you ain't got a good church, and I ain't talking about no country bound church, I'm talking about a real church. If you ain't got Jesus in your life, then leave me alone. Somebody shout, leave me alone. I gotta get out of here, but then watch this. Leave me alone unless you are kingdom serious. No, because you must understand that I'm not 16 anymore. I'm not even 21 anymore. I'm not even 25 no more. I'm not a little girl or a little boy. My drama is too serious to hang out with somebody silly. Tell somebody, tell them my stuff is too serious to hang out with silly folk. If you're not ready for the kingdom, if you're not ready to get yourself together, if you're not ready to work on this marriage, if you're not ready to deal with what I come with, then leave me alone. But then last but not least, leave me alone unless your worship is real. Oh, it's about to go crazy in here. Because I don't need somebody playing church. I need somebody that will be the church. Because when I get down on my knees, I need to Shabbat God, and I need to Kada God, and I need somebody that will partner with me. Don't play church, be the church. Slap three people, tell them, leave me alone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but Lord, leave me alone until I love myself. Because until I love myself, I can't really love nobody else right. Now, sometimes I want sex, but it don't mean I'm ready for commitment. Sometimes I want somebody to touch me, but I don't understand they need to speak into me. Because until I get myself right, I'm not going to be no good to nobody else. So, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And don't you hook me up until I'm ready for somebody.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. 101.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings. This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
There's a leak in this old building, and my I'm glad. You know that
there's a man to me.
You gave me food and clothing, Lord, I'm glad.
Gracious to God Almighty, another day's journey. I'm glad about it. We should be glad about it, because every day speaks for itself. And when we can go on this journey and pass the test of the journey, then we can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, knowing that great is our reward from heaven. I thank God today, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, our reminder and keeper. And I'm just gracious to this church, to all the ministers, missionaries, bishops, everybody that make up the household of faith. I thank God for you today. To every department head, and we must know that we're somebody special with God. When God renews your faith in Him, you was a peculiar people. You need to keep that in mind, because a lot of times people hunt faults and hunt things to do to tear the church down. We got to find things to do to build the church up. That's our job to do. If you want to find faults, don't mean no harm to you. You can do it just past every one of the bathrooms in the church, got mirrors in it. Just take a moment, go look in the mirror, and you'll see some faults. You ain't gonna look at nobody else. It's best to always look in your mirror first. I think in the book of James, if I'm correctly, he said, a man looketh in the mirror, then when he turn around, he forget what he looked like. That shouldn't be so. You should know. You don't need people telling you who you are. You already ought to already know who you are. You ought to know who you represent. You ought to know who you're walking with. When Adam was in the garden, God put him in a perfect utopia, a perfect place, the first church on earth. When he put him in the church, everything was good. I don't know how long it was. I don't have the number of years that it was when he put Adam in the church. Adam stayed in the church until, what did he say, that woman you gave me? She made me mess up. Then we had to suffer some penalties for our negligence, for obeying, not obeying what thus said the Lord. So we suffer many things, but we suffered because of our negligence, not because God. Because God, all through the Bible, Old and New Testament, He said, if you repent, I'll forget about your sin. Sometimes it makes me wonder. I scratch my head many times when I see how the government, how churches live these days. It's amazing to me. It's like me telling you the house on fire and you go get in the bed. How do you think God feels sometimes when we say we Christians and we do everything we want to do, but we ain't worried about what God wants us to do? I just want to bring you into where we need to be as a church. Church is God's priority. The church is where we come to fellowship and be happy one with another. The church is where we come and give God and pray and lift one another up. The church is where we come and be healed from all our infirmities. We come here to love one another. I thank Christ said, all men will know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. I know everybody don't love me, but hear me though. I love everybody, don't I? I love everybody.
Thank you.
All of them. Don't care where you come from, where you're going, I still love you. Because if I didn't love you, then I'm out of order with God. Because God said, and I got the pattern after him, he so loved the world. Now, he didn't say the church. He said he so loved the world that he gave his own life, for us. Wasn't even saying nobody was saved. But he gave up his life, a perfect life, just to bring us back to the Father so we have joy and peace and love in him. This being February, and I thank God for all of you. And you know what? I get sometimes choked up and nervous because I feel the spirit of the church. And I feel the spirit of the church, and there are many instances where when I get up to say something about black people, we get offended. I want to say about black folks in the Bible, I ain't worried about what the DCs and MCs and all that say. I'm talking about what Jesus say, what God say, what Jehovah say, who we are, where we are, and our purpose here on this earth. That makes me feel better because I can't win no battle in this secular society. Anything I say in this secular society, they're going to try to gut me. Because I don't know enough about the secular society and about government to go up and speak on that. But I know right here, I'm at home here. I'm like Brother Rabbit here. The rabbit say, oh, don't throw me them bushes there. Don't you throw me them bushes. Or that's it for me. I'm going to be dead. He psyched him out. Throw him in the bushes. He's at home free. My God, my Lord. Today we're going to, in the New Testament, one of our teachings, we're going to teach you, we're going to run too. We're going to run today, but I want you to take the whole thing and keep this in mind, what the Lord is trying to get us to see and understand. First of all, black history is not just for black people, it's for everybody. Everybody needs to know whence you come, where you come, and where you're going. Black history has been set apart as a standard in the world today that we could celebrate the shortest month in the year for a little while. Don't linger too long on it, though. Don't linger too long. Don't say too much about yourself because you're boasting. But I've been talking about European Americans all my life, ain't nobody told me nothing. But when I talked about the Shemites and the Hamites, I got in trouble. God help me. You don't have to say amen. We're going to read and run through this. I want you to catch on. I'm not going to skip all over the Bible this morning. I'm going to stay in one place. I want you to catch on with this. If you don't get nothing else, I want you to catch on this. On Wednesday night, I gave you a paper readout sheet, and it got the names and all them names and stuff that's in the Bible to let you identify who you was with those names, and I define the names, who they are, where they come from, and what their association is with God, and what their duties and everything. But here, I want to bring this up from Genesis 2. You know, we had four rivers coming out of Africa. Four rivers coming into one out of one head into four different parts. And all those people there coming out to Eden was African nation, every one of them. And they all, the rivers supported everything. They had seaports and everything that they need. All things that they needed, they had leverage to it. And they did what God said. As long as they did what God said, everything was sweet. When disobedience came, we got in trouble. So today we're going to just run through this from Acts 8 chapter. Y'all know it better than I do, but I just like to talk about it. I love to talk about it. New Testament. New Testament. 8 chapter of Acts. Starting with the 26th verse. You don't have to stand because we're going to walk through it. We're going to walk through the whole thing. We're going to walk through it this morning. I want y'all to know this. I want you to be happy when you see it and say, well, you know what? He was reading that out the Bible. He ain't got no translation up there. He's reading this from the Bible. The 8th chapter of Acts, starting with the 26th verse. And look how it starts off. Now watch this. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, the 26th verse, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down to what? Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is in the desert. The Holy Spirit talked to Philip, told Philip, go south. Go towards the south. Go down to Jerusalem. When you go to Jerusalem, be obedient to the Spirit of God. Yes. A lot of time, God sent us places. We go where we want to go. And then we want a blessing that don't ever come. Because we went where we wanted to go instead of going where the Lord told us to go. The Gaza, anybody ever heard about the Gaza Strip? It was forbidden at one time that you couldn't get on the Gaza Strip. It was forbidden to have any movement over there. And then on Mount Everest, it's still locked in. That's where Noah's Ark is. Today, y'all, come on, I'm talking about history. Noah's Ark on Mount Everest. And it's a no-fly zone. They don't even let them mountain climbers climb up there. And Lionel, you need to know how you know that. I read it every day and see it on TV on Discovery Channel, go in the history book and find it. Because I want to make sure I know what I'm saying. No fly zone now. Look it up. Why? Because if you go there and see Noah's Ark, you're going to start believing God is real. And that God, everything he say, he do what he say. And that's going to hurt the whole concept of what we've been taught all our life. So he said, go to the south, to the desert plain. And then Philip didn't, he wasn't hard-headed. And he arose and went. Watch this. Can I come down to y'all level? Sometimes we're too high, God wants to come down. And say, he rose and went. And behold, a man of what? Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the kindest queen of what? Ethiopia, who had charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Jerusalem is the headquarters of God's body, the church of Christ Jesus. Not, I'm talking about all churches, Baptist, Protestant, whatever it is. Jerusalem is the headquarters at this particular time, headquarters. I know we try to change it up and all that nowadays because we want to have something to brag on for ourselves. You don't need to brag. Just brag on Jesus. You don't need to be seen. Just talk about Jesus. You don't need to be heard. If just stand in the corner somewhere and hide out and hear what the Lord say. And when you hear what he say, just get up and go do it. And watch your blessing come. That's what God wants us to do today. So he said here, he arose. Now watch this. This wasn't no any kind of man. He was old. The queen, all the queen stuff, she's the queen of Ethiopia. She run that country. Smith, you ought to shut up. You ain't nothing but mess. Well, can I back up a little bit? Before sin came in the garden, now you men's going to dislike me now. I don't care though. Before sin came on earth, man and woman was the same. They was equal. You better study. You better study so you won't be ignorant when you go in public. Study the word of God. That's the true, only true word on earth. They was equal. The queens run countries. just like Cain's did. They had the same authority, same power. But what sin did, it made the woman, read your Bible, read in Genesis, the woman had to submit herself to the man now because of sin. Lord, help me, Jesus. And women, y'all obey your husband as unto the Lord. Y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me pretty good? This man wasn't no dummy. You know, like on TV all the time when they show a slave, they show him crawling or show him being ignorant and all that. These are intelligent people. Very intelligent people. He was over everything. He could read, write, spell. He had a degree. All that. He had all that. Because he was over the queen. Everything, just like Joseph was in Egypt. He was the second highest man in all the land, in the land of Egypt. Because God was with him. God educated. Moses was well educated in Egyptian law. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Moses was a black brother. He married a black girl. They got all messed up, mixed up, and started acting crazy. And even his two sisters and brothers. Moses, what you marry her for? You ain't supposed to marry her. And it wasn't white-black thing. It was a race thing. It was a race thing, not white and black. That's ignorant. That whoever come up with that white-black stuff, they ignorant till this very day. You cause a lot of trouble on this earth for coming up with white-black stuff. It ain't had nothing to do with no white-black. It had to do with race, creeds, and color. The Shemites were supposed to marry Shemites. When Japheth went into the Caucasian mountain, he went in the mountain, dwelled in the mountain the most of all his life. And he wasn't no white man. He's a black man. He was Noah boy. Three boys. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Three of them. Noah was through with children, so he couldn't have no more. Well, I ain't going to say he couldn't have, but he didn't have. So Shem and Ham stayed in the desert area until they died. Until they died. So what are you saying? What are you saying, preacher? I want you to be clear. I want it clear. And say they went to Jerusalem to worship. That's what we're supposed to come to church to do what? Worship. Worship the Lord with everything within us. Know that who brought me to where I am now. We need to keep that in mind. Let us run on. Let us run. And say he was returning and sitting, this Ethiopian man was turning and sitting on his chair to read Esau's, the prophet, Isaiah. 53, that's where he was, verse 7. He's reading it. But listen to what the word says. I want to stay with the word. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go get over there. He don't understand. He read good. He well educated, but he don't understand. Watch this. You can read and have all kind of doctor's degree, but see this word right here? It's a different, y'all. It's a different. You get revelation knowledge when you feel with God power, God spirit, God Holy Ghost. You get power, revelation knowledge from these words, and it comes into a low estate where the least among us can get what the greatest of us have. Did you know that? God has no respect of person. We've been running around all our days talking about this is up here, this is down here. No, we're all the same. We're all the same. But we listen at knuckleheads and we belittle our own self through silliness. Folks telling you who you are, God told you who you were. Let us make man, watch this, in our likeness, our image. Is that biblical? We look just like God. God said we look like him. He made us to look just like him. Now, why you let some knucklehead come up to you and tell you who you are, how you look? It's unscripture. Let's run, because I see gritting up teeth. Go up there to the chair and see. I want you to go over there and you need to learn. Philip ran there hither to him and heard him read. The prophet Isaiah said, understandest thou what thou read? He said, no, somebody got to show me. I'm reading good. I know how to read. I'm educated enough. But I don't understand what they're saying. Why should I? Let's stay here. Stay here. And he said, watch this. And he said, how can I accept some man show? I mean, should God who? Me. I got to be led to that. I'm trying to teach you today what the word says so you'll understand it. So we go on verse by verse, line on line, precept by precept. So you'll say and won't ever say this, that he's just up there talking. He don't know what he's saying. You're looking at the same thing I'm looking at now, and we're coming to this being in the road. Well, you're going to have to understand it. I'm not adding to it nor taking away. I'm giving just what the word says. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that, watch this, he will come up and sit with him. I don't understand, but you come up and show me. We got too much pride now in the church. If I don't know something, is we got too much pride in the church, say, could you help me? I don't really understand what's going on. Would you mind helping me? No, my pride. I know more than you. You can't tell me nothing. Throw away that pride.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You about to fall. When pride comes, you're almost over the cliff. You're going to fall. People going to laugh at you, talk about you. Throw pride down. Stretch forth your hand. Meet everybody with a smile, with a hug, with a greet. Salute your brother along the way. Except you go on a missionary journey that God sent you on, don't stop saluting nobody. So he said, he desired that Philip come up with him, sit with him. And the place in the scripture was from Isaiah 53, verse 7. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not what? His mouth. Watch this. They're talking about Jesus. That's what he wanted to understand. Who are you talking about? Who is he talking about? That was Jesus led like that. He was led by God, not no man. Men try to lead him, but Jesus ignored them. When you know the word and you're in the word, walking in the word, love the word, you don't listen to all this chin music you hear out here. Stay in the word. The word gonna cover you and get you where you need to go. Just looking at this morning, just checking a few notes out. I looked at Enos. Enos, a prophet, a priest, the only perfect human being that ever walked the face of this earth. And God caught him up, took him with him. God took him with him. What did we do to the Bible? We took Enos, First and Second Maccabees, and some other books too. Out the Bible. Why we did that? Because I didn't want y'all to catch on, because Enos say some things, listen, that'll stagger your imagination. Enos say some things that from the beginning talked about Adam. Enos say some things about the coming of Christ. But we ain't want you to know that much. He say some things before Moses ever wrote a book. So he ever picked a pencil up. Enos had already wrote the first law. He's the first lawgiver on earth. Enos was. This black Ethiopian man. First lawgiver. And we've been running around here all our life acting like we secondary people. That's because they didn't want you to know nothing. They didn't want you to know who you was. Because if you know who you are, Lord have mercy, you'll take over. You're a threat now. God help me. You're a threat now. They're changing rules every day. Because you're a threat. You don't wisen up. When they come to all the whole United States of America, they brought up a word called integration. They said, let's integrate and bring everybody in. And we're all going to be at the same school. We're all going to learn a lot. We're going to be educated together. But guess what? Jesus was on the hill pitching. And when Jesus pitched, he threw everybody the same pitch. And they forgot that we are descendants of Solomon, which is the wisest man that ever will live on the face of God's earth. They forgot that. but they passed rules and regulations. Then we the classroom valedictorians from all over America done is people of color. In every school, almost in the universe now, people of color. Now they're trying to figure out, Lord, how are we going to stop them now? You can't. You can't, because God with them. God with us. And when God with you, can't nobody do you no harm. God got you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. Get on your knees sometime. Pray all time. Pray a little bit. Tell God about your problem. And he going to bring you out of it. But we got to do what he said. We got to do what he said, y'all. And he went on to say, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus went on the cross and suffered shame and agony and be disfigured, slapped, jerked the beard out of his face. He's a Nazarite. And sometimes we go around here, we don't want people to wear beard. God help us. Wear your beard. Look good. Keep it right. Look good with it. Nothing wrong with no beard. He had a beard on. Abraham had a beard. Moses had a beard. Aaron had a beard. There wasn't no clean shave. It was forbidden that we put a razor on our face. God help me, Jesus. But what we did, we couldn't get on them jobs unless we shaved. And we need to work, so we went on shade, right? That's where Satan get us in a jam. By regulation. I had to go through the same regulation you went through. So ain't nothing new, Solomon say. But he, let us go on. Let us go on. He said here, in his humiliation, that's Jesus suffering shame and agony, his judgment was taken away. He become a sinner for us. The perfect righteous God become a sinner for us. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now watch this. Salvation is ready to come. When Christ hung on Calvary. He suffered shame. He died. But when they took him down, he already had told them now, even if you kill me, don't pick me up. Don't lift me up. Don't lift me up. People that never heard of me before, they're going to start coming to church. They're going to start getting saved. You better not lift me up. But the Roman government thought they were smart. But I heard Brother Ike say this morning, he that is in me is greater, than he that's in the world. God, help us. There's no power but God power, y'all. Sometimes we abuse or misuse the power that God allows us to have. We misuse and make it look so bad and so wrong, but there's no power but God power. And if we let God power circulate through our system, we're going to be blessed every day. And then when we pray, I was thinking about the miracles and things that was formed by Elisha. How he did the miracles. People didn't understand it. How Jesus worked miracles. How Jesus spoke to people and said, when you get home, your daughter going to be made whole. Your son going to be fixed. He's going to be well. We say, nah, he blaspheming. That's because you don't believe in him. You call him a blasphemer. I heard these Pharisees and scribes tell Jesus this. He said, you breaking the laws of Moses. Who gave Moses a law? Jesus. See, I'm telling you, we got to wisen up, y'all. We got to wisen up. We got to wisen up. He the one gave Moses the law, And before Moses, 4,000 years before Moses on the scene, Enos was writing laws. Good God Almighty, Jesus. They don't teach that. They took Enos out of the book. He was too perfect. Read it. Search Enos. Go look up Enos. He was perfect man, according to the Bible. On this earth. So they took that out of the Bible. The King James took it out. It's going to cause trouble. So they took that out of the Bible. Let's run. He was humiliated. His judgment was taken from him, and who should declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And he, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee of whom speaketh thou, the prophet? Himself or some other man? And then I said, Jesus? That's when he started breaking it down. He let him know that was Jesus. Now, church, can everybody, you all right? You comfortable? Y'all comfortable? Okay, grab hold to the pew. A eunuch was a person of the Canaanites that handled all the business of the queen. He had to be castrated, or his fertile organs had to be dismissed, that there be no child bearing with the servant to the queen. Because as you always say, the flesh is what? Weak. So I'm being with you every day. Sooner or later, Satan gonna plant a seed in my mind. Rose, you're so cute. And we start changing words. First thing you know, hallelujah. See, you need to know this. You need to know all this stuff. Because you just see units. You don't know what you might be thinking. That's a T-Marla car. But you need to be taught these things so we'll understand history. We'll understand where we are, whose we are, and whence we go. Now, listen good what he's trying to tell us now. Listen to what he's trying to tell us here. He say, he answered Philip and said, I pray thee, who speak thou of the prophet of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him. Now, this, I must tell you, this Philip was a deacon. He's an evangelist chosen at the Church of Jerusalem, along with Stephen. And now he had been exalted by God to be an evangelist or a preacher. He wasn't a pastor, evangelist or a preacher at the church at Jerusalem. Now, what he doing preaching? You can preach, everybody here can preach. If you live right and live holy, you can preach too. What did Timothy 3 say? If you desire the office of bishop, you desire a good thing. Then these are the things you got to do in order to fulfill that job. God ain't gonna hold nobody back. You so desire to do that, but you got to live it. See, a lot of people desire, but they ain't living nothing. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't say that. Thank you, Lord. So lo and behold here, he began to explain to him what's happening and what's going on. He preached to him Jesus. What did he say he preached what? Jesus to him. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. Watch this. The Bible said, if you're hungry and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled, right? This man so wanted to be like the Lord so bad. Oh, I feel it. So he said, what's going to stop you now from putting some water on me? But now I need to tell you about that. Why you put water on me? So he said, you already been saved. Why you put water that symbolized the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And when he get up, all power, heaven and earth, is in you. In you. Or can I say us? I hear preachers always proclaiming, it's in me. Y'all can be like me. No, we can be like each other. The Bible said we was helpers one of another. Why should I try to be greater than you or just be straightforward and see you as my brother? I'm just an overseer, administrative position, but I'm still your brother. I'm still your servant. I'm still your servant. And if I can't come and sit with you in the presence of you, sit down with you and we talk trash together, I ain't much of a pastor. Y'all didn't hear that, though. You didn't hear the preacher to break my neck by that. If I can't come in the midst of you and talk a little trash with you and be of good cheer, I ain't talking about no craziness now. I can't come and sit down in the midst of you and talk and be happy and talk about the 46ers or whatever, 76ers, the Saints or whatever. There's something wrong with the Holy Ghost. I got y'all. Because the Bible tells me the Holy Ghost seals you until the day of redemption. Well, what I'm worried about, why I can't talk about the Dodgers when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? And I'm waxed in the Spirit of God. Can't nothing penetrate me because God got me waxed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I see a lot of church beasts, church people, zombies. Look. Time to fall a little to the left. All right, D. No, go look in the mirror. When I first start, I'll go look in the mirror at yourself. You ain't got to holler at Deke. Salvation is free. Salvation is joy. Salvation is peace. Salvation is happiness. What we up in the church for, just laying doormat to a rule. Help us, Lord. As they went on their way, they came to this certain water, and the eunuch said, here's water. What's hindering you? Why you can't baptize me here? And Philip said something. And this running parallel with Romans 10:9-10. This is what he said. And I just want to take you through it verse by verse. Verse by verse. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. That's what he's saying. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. You got to confess that yourself, yes, not sir. Me. Yes, sir. You got to confess it yourself. You do it. Not the preacher. You do it. Then you'll be saved according to the Bible. Not according to me now, according to the Bible. So he went on. So Philip, if you believe, son, we can do it. And he confessed that he believed and that Christ was the Son of God. And he commanded, watch this, the chariot to stop still. Of course, now that Philip ordered, he had some servants with him. And he had a servant, most likely this other dude had a servant too. And he stopped the chariot. Told him to stop it. He went there and baptized Philip. Baptized the Ethiopian. Watch this. Now we criticize the Ethiopian. The TB have killed us. The TB didn't kill us almost. And we run behind a TB every day. And it's the one that gives us more trouble. Ethiopia is the where Christianity all began. Christianity began in Ethiopia. First organized city, a country, is Egypt. The first kingdom, king of the kingdom on this earth, was Nimrod. Nimrod. That's Ham's grandson. Nimrod. He and his people, they got so strong until this is what God did. God said, let us go down where Nimrod and them Canaanite people there. Because whatever they put their mind to, they's all on the same page, one accord. They was going to do it. They was building a tower according to God's word out of his mouth all the way to heaven. But God said, we better go stop them. He didn't kill them. He didn't cuss them out. He didn't talk about them. I'm telling you, see, God's smart. Guess what he did? He just confused the tongue. When I was talking naturally, what the devil can understand, he just started saying, now speak in tongues. Satan didn't know what was going on. That's why they couldn't build. He had different languages popped up. And they couldn't understand each other. One man say, sense of mortar, he'll bring a brick. That's according to the Bible. I got that out of the Bible. Say, sense of straw, he'll bring a brick. So God had to come and confuse the language of these people so they won't physically see. If we physically, we go to heaven physically, we can build an airplane. But watch this. But an airplane can't go up there. It'll fall apart when it gets so high. It just disintegrates. It's some power out there we can't go through. That's why when the angels was caught up, Elijah was caught up, and Jesus was caught up, they broke them. Couldn't nobody stop them because the power of God covered them, kept them, strengthened them, picked them up, And they was able to shout joy. Now, I don't know where Elijah and Enos at, but I know where Jesus is. I know where Jesus is. But I don't know where Elijah and Enos at. But I know one thing. Wherever they at, they in good hands. Because the Bible said they're perfect. They're perfect. So we went on. He commanded the chariot to stop still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuchs, and he baptized him. Listen good. This black country, that's why I'm teaching it. There's everything in here. That right now, everything in here is all black. So you don't have to feel bad that you didn't play a part in the building of the church of God. You played a big part in it. This is the book of Acts, y'all. This is the book of Acts. New Testament, you had a big part to play in it. So you ought to feel good today. You know what, y'all? You can go sit and holler like you're crazy. You know what? When the Holy Ghost came to the earth, you know it fell on me just like it did somebody else. You know, some people figure when they get the Holy Ghost, it's something that ain't nobody else had before and they done got it. And it's been here since the foundation of the earth. We just didn't walk in it, didn't know how to walk in it, but it always been here. That's why he told them, say, nah, ladies, don't touch me right now. I had not yet ascended back to my Father. He got to anoint me before you can touch me again. And when he got touched by God, his Father, then he come back and he told his boy, say, I know you don't believe me. Look here, look at my hand. Look at the nail prints in my hand. Look at the nail prints in my feet here. Put your hand in my side here. And they see, oh, he is. Just like he said, you know, he got the prints. He look at the scars on him. Look at his beard jacked out. He is the Savior, like he said. How he got up, though? Ain't nobody had got up before unless God worked a miracle. But he done got up. And now he telling us he'll never lay down no more and go to sleep no more. Good God Almighty, how he do that? All other boys, Abraham dead. All them boys dead. They ain't coming back till God come back. They wasn't lying, but see, God got supernatural power. Just in case we don't know, he got supernatural power. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip. Whoa! Caught him up. Picked him up. Could I say that? Let's stay with the word. Said, caught up Philip, that the eunuchs saw him no more. And he went out. He went on his way. What? Lord have mercy. When God do something with you, save you, sanctify you, fill with the holy power of God, oh, you ought to be proud. You ought to just walk like you're somebody special. And I can verify that in 1 Peter 2:9, you are special. That's what the book says. You are somebody special. You're of the royalty of God. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. What make him act like he act? Because I'm not ashamed to own God before men. I'm not ashamed. Don't matter what you say about me. I know who I am. All that foolishness you're coming up with, that you better go talk to the Lord about it so he can clean you up. So you can properly go home when he comes at you. You can go home with him. But if you're dirty, you ain't going nowhere. I can preach all I want. But if I ain't shod with the preparation of peace in my life, I ain't going nowhere. Yeah, y'all heard that? I say, me, I ain't say nothing about you now. I'm an example to the church. If I don't have it, how you going to get it? We coming down. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip up, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way.